driving you home every weekday afternoon. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
And as always, on a Thursday night, we'll start our entertainment hour with a look at the unsigned charts. Guy Keeble, of course, here in around about 10 minutes, doing some film reviews, Man of Steel and Much Ado About Nothing, he said, looking at Sky and hoping he would acknowledge that he got it right. Yes, I has. He's nodding. That's good. Okay, so into the unsigned chart. This is when we take a look at some of the unsigned artists from in and around Cambridge. Tim Willett will have revealed the chart last night as part of the new Music Generator programme. And we have a new entry. We'll play that for you first. A good old friend of, I guess, programmes I've done as, I guess, 105 Drive in general, really, Elliot Porter. So returning to the chart, up for the vote, is his song, Joanna. I guess I should mention that it's Elliot Porter's birthday tomorrow. Well done, Elliot. Joanna is his song. It's the new entry in the Unsigned chart this week, up for the vote. Slightly different means the way the Unsigned chart is running this week. I'll explain all in just a moment.
The Unsigned chart on Cambridge 105.
First of all, let's count down the chart. Mirror Signal, Broken Soldiers, number 5. Number 4 from Music and Spies, In My Hands. 3 from Flaming June, Rumpelstiltskin. 2, Harry Seaton's Wildfire. And at number 1, Chloe Anna and Old Haunts. Now, Tim is off for a week, so what's going to happen is the Unsigned chart will run until next Wednesday evening, when voting will stop, and the chart will be announced 1 week after that. So we'll still do the midway point on Monday on Drive. Actually, Matt's going to be doing that next week, just after 6 o'clock. And then no new music generator, though, on Wednesday, so you have to wait an additional 7 days before you hear the new chart. We'll tell you how you can vote if you're not entirely sure how to do that in just a moment, but first, let's hear Chloe Anna's song, Old Haunts.
The Unsigned chart.
That's Chloe Anna, Old Haunts, number 1 on the Unsigned chart this week. Will it still be there on Monday? You'll find out with Matt just after 6 o'clock, and you'll find out the full chart with Tim the following Wednesday. It's not Wednesday next week, Wednesday after that. If you haven't voted, just go to cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart, and there you'll be able to place your vote. Only one vote per person, or be precise, one vote per IP address, because otherwise, just had to throw them out. We had a bit of overvoting, shall we say, this week, and we can spot it, so there's absolutely no point. Right, it's 12 minutes now past 6 o'clock. We'll be doing the movie reviews with Sky just ever so shortly. What do you have for us today, Sky?
Covering the new Man of Steel and also Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, and drawing on the competition as
indeed.
Well. So the entries will have to go into the old tombola, and we'll pick one out sometime, of course, or the next half hour. Don't forget, Davina is in as well, just before 7, and we're going to be looking at the Fernando's Kitchen competition as well. Sky, how are you?
I'm very well, Julian. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you very much. A bit damp.
Yes, a bit muggy, isn't it?
I got a bit wet earlier on, stepped outside my front door, got drenched.
Well, you'll want to be hitting the cinema, because they're wonderfully air-conditioned in those.
I like air-conditioned cinemas. It's probably bad. It doesn't do my green credentials any good, but it is rather nice.
And the films I'm going to be covering is the big Superman reboot, Man of Steel, and we've got a clip for you right now.
My name is General Zod. I have journeyed across an ocean of stars to reach you. Your world has sheltered one of my citizens. He will look like you, but he is not one of you. To those of you who know of his location, the fate of your planet rests in your hands. To Kal-El, I say this. Surrender within 24 hours, or watch this world suffer the consequences.
You will not win. For every human you save, we will kill a million more.
I won't betray them.
You already have.
Well, that was definitely the baddie, wasn't it?
Yes, that was that was General Zod there. I hadn't actually heard that one before, because there were several trailers that were released with different narrations.
I had a choice. So, I just went for that one, because it was nasty.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. I think this reboot has sort of expanded the Superman mythology and the origins. I mean, it's 143 minutes, so you're getting a good, decent chunk of Superman history.
And how have they played it? Because since Christopher Dean was... Christopher Dean, the skater, wasn't he? Brain failure this afternoon. Since Christopher Reeve was faster than a speeding bullet, a few things have moved on. We've had Dean Cain in a TV series. Uh-huh. We've also had Smallville as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that sort of play and fit into this particular story? Well, or do they just ignore it?
Well, Zack Snyder, who's the director, who also did other comic book films such as 300 and Watchmen, he wanted to completely sort of not disregard it, but start completely afresh. He didn't want to sort of like allude too much to like Superman Returns or anything like that, but you can see in it a lot of references to the stuff that has gone before in terms of like Smallville. There's even a little I won't tell you because it might allude to a sequel, but there's a lot of interesting snippets. If you're fans of the comics, then you'll see what I mean. But if you're going in there as a complete novice to anything Superman, I mean, to be fair, I'm not the biggest Superman fan and can't really say I remember the classic ones. I know Superman Returns did quite poorly at the box office, so they didn't want to like hire them back. But it's a fresh look, and it's slightly darker as well. The soundtrack is awesome. I think it's James Newton Howard doing the sound. They don't use the original Superman score.
But I did notice a few sort of bars that in that trailer there that seemed to at least capture the essence of it.
It invokes sort of a heroic music sort of heroicism.
The that element of it was pretty much still in the score.
Mm. I'll just go through the synopsis,
okay,
just so you're aware. As a young boy, Clark Kent realised he was different from all the kids around him. Blessed or perhaps cursed with superhuman strength and abilities, years later, the adult Clark, who's played wonderfully by Henry Cavill, sets out on a journey to discover who he is and where he came from. In the process, he learns to embrace his destiny and become the world's greatest saviour, Superman. And Christopher Nolan produces it. Screenwriter is David S. Goyer. And, of course, he's Henry Cavill's joined by a great cast of actors: Amy Adams, Russell Crowe, Kevin Costner, Diane Lane, Michael Shannon. So it's just, I think there was so much expectation riding on this, they had to go all out.
That's quite a cast.
Yeah, there's some great climactic action sequences. Some of them, I would say, are a bit too long, because you're thinking, these guys are invincible, they could just keep going forever. But he sort of round them off quite nicely. And yeah, it's just epic. I think it was far better than Iron Man 3, certainly. I mean, I quite enjoyed Iron Man 3, but I think this one, like, pushed the boat out a bit more. So yeah, if you want to see it, you catch it tonight in, it's in 3D and 2D, and you can watch it tonight at the Arts Pitch House if you want, in 3D at 8:45. At Cineworld, it's on at 3D at 8:00 or 9:10, or 2D showing at 8:30. Or if view is a bit closer for you, you can see it in 3D at 8:00 or 2D at 7:30, 9:15 or 9:30. And of course, it will be showing at the weekend and probably for several, many, many weeks to come.
And one lucky person doesn't have to pay to go and see it.
No, they don't.
And they can take a friend who doesn't have to pay to go and see it. So we should probably run through the competition from last time around.
Yeah.
And the prizes, first of all.
Yeah, they get a T-shirt, a cap and a lapel pin, I believe, with two tickets to Cineworld. Yeah.
Do you have the precise wording of the question
in front of you? Do I have the precise wording? Not in front of me, but it was something along the lines.
I think I probably do have it. I'm just wondering if it would break the contract if we were to not give it the precise way.
Yeah, well, Go ahead, because if you've got it in front of you.
I think I probably have. Here we go. The question, in Man of Steel, four times Oscar nominee Amy Adams portrays Lois Lane, a journalist in this Metropolis-based newspaper. Name the newspaper. Emma.
I haven't got a clue.
You don't know?
No, I'm not really. Obviously, you haven't seen Man of Steel, and probably won't.
Okay.
I'm not into the superhero.
Pass the microphone along to Rob, his debut on the radio. Let's hope he gets the answer right.
I'm not going to be able to, but surely that would ruin the competition.
We're drawing the winners. That's Emma's next job. She doesn't know it yet, but
I know they're in New York.
Okay.
But no, sorry, I can't help you there.
Sky, what's the answer to the question? We normally have this rule that friends and relatives and station members can't enter the competition. This is, and they don't know the answer anyway, so it's largely irrelevant, isn't it? Sky?
It is the Daily Planet. The Daily Planet. Of course, Clark Kent works there as well.
Yeah.
And Lois Lane.
I wonder if he has their new J card. It might do.
Oh, right.
Right.
Sorry, I nearly went over my head.
We have 8. 8 people got it right.
Okay.
And so, Emma, can you give me a number between 1 and 8?
Ooh, 5.
5. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's Lucy Graves.
Oh, well done.
Well done, Lucy. We will arrange that for you imminently, so you can go and see that across the weekend. In fact, I've got your email address in front of me. I will pass that on to Mr. Keeble, who will arrange for you to get your goodies and your tickets.
Yes.
Sounds like a good plan.
I'll
that way
that.
You can speedily get that sent to you. I think I'm going to get myself into trouble with Warner Brothers, because I've just sort of started off this email to Lucy telling her that she'd won the competition. And then I sort of, the header was like Superman. That's not allowed, is it?
Officially it's Man of Steel.
Yeah,
so
never change it. Lucy, look out for an email titled Man of Steel. We're going to be talking about Much Ado About Nothing, I generally do on this programme, and that's next. Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city. It is 28 minutes now before 7 o'clock. It is Movie Reviews with Sky Keeble as part of our Entertainment Hour. And we're going to move on to Much Ado About Nothing, which is a new piece by an up-and-coming writer.
I see what you did there. Well, he's an up-and-coming film director, but actually he filmed this while he was doing Avengers Assemble, actually. Josh Whedon is not, like, unfamiliar to TV with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel and whatnot, and he uses quite a lot of cast that he's worked with in the past, like on those shows, in this, you know, quite well put together adaptation of Shakespeare's play. And we've got a clip for you now.
And let's have a listen.
Well, niece, I hope to see you one day fitted with a husband.
Not till God make men of some other metal than earth.
I want you to get together.
It is certain I am loved of all ladies, for truly, I love none.
Dear happiness to women.
Put your hands together
with them. Oh, God, sir. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
There's a kind of merry war betwixt Signor Benedict and her. They never meet, but there's a skirmish of wit between them.
If you three will minister assistance,
I will bring Signor Benedict and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection.
By this day, she's a fair lady.
That was one heck of a clip. I have to say, when I pulled that one off a little earlier on this afternoon, I was absolutely shocked. Well, obviously, I knew it was going to be Shakespeare. That's fairly straightforward. Mm-hmm. But I knew nothing about the background of the movie. Mm. And so when we saw them in modern dress, I thought, they'll be a week working. It's Joss Whedon, it's, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they're speaking the bard's language, aren't they?
Yeah. No, it's a nice idea. I think it shows the simplicity of what you can do with, I mean, there's so many ways it's been played out on stage. In fact, this was filmed at his Santa Monica mansion in just 12 days. So while he was filming Avengers Assemble, working on that, the simplicity of the production is enhanced by the decision to shoot in monochrome. So it's a black and white film. And to retain much of Shakespeare's dialogue, although its more flowery corners have been rounded off by Whedon's script in deference to modern and younger ears. So he abridges it slightly in order to...
So just tidied it up. Frankly, school versions will be like that as well, won't they?
Exactly. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily aimed... It's not just for children. Of course not, even though they study it.
I was going to say, it's manna from heaven if you're a teacher, isn't it? You can just take the kids down to the local cinema and get them to engage with, as you were saying, actors that they might know from some of the other series that they would have seen on television previously and in cinema too.
Yeah. I mean, the last Much Ado About Nothing I remember was the Kenneth Branagh version with Denzel Washington, Keanu Reeves... Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson in, who are like the main cast. These, I guess, unless you're familiar with the TV shows that Whedon's like worked on before, they're completely unknown, which I think makes it better. You're looking at them as they, you know, produce the characters, and they all perform really well. And the main focus is Beatrice and Benedict, and you always forget about that because you think the main story is about the wedding and Hero and all that. But no, it's actually, you know, these two, like, at each other's throats throughout the play. And just through a bit of misdirection, they've come to realise that they love each other. And no, I think it's really nice. Everybody in the cinema I knew was laughing and thoroughly enjoying it. And it's definitely one of my favourite Shakespeare plays. And this is a great version of it.
Okay, so when can people see this one, then?
They can see it. It is only showing at the Arts Picture House in Cambridge. And it's on at... on Friday, that's tomorrow, 3:30, Saturday at 10 to 1, or Sunday at 12:30.
And so, is it just justice over the weekend? Is it
no, there will be there will it will carry on into next week because it only opened last Friday and it's doing quite well. So yeah, check it out.
I do rather fancy going to see that. I'm busy at the weekend. I'm going to see Dora the Explorer at the Corn Exchange.
Long
story. Okay, any bits of new movie news, bits and pieces to let us know, Vance?
Also, coming out tomorrow, you've got Snitch, a new film with starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, about a father who gets embroiled in his son's drug dealing. Yeah, along those lines. I don't think it's going to be very good. Haunted House, you've got its... done by the Wayne brothers, kind of similar to the Scary Movie films, but this is their own thing, and it kind of deals with similar like Paranormal Activity, Last Exorcism, all those kinds of films, big spoof basically. Don't think that's gonna be very good. Before Midnight, I'm looking forward to, if you're familiar with the series, Richard Linklater directs, stars Ethan Hawke and Julie Delphi, and he's filmed two films prior to this one called Before Sunrise and Before Sunset. They were basically romance dramas about this couple. In the first film, meet up, they're just travelling and just meet on the train one day. One invites them to join around the city and they fall in love. And it's just that day, it just focuses on that day. And then they depart thinking they'll never see each other again. Not what I want to spoil the plot line. And in the second one, they meet up again, not thinking they'll meet up. They, you know, hang out for a bit. And again, it's very ambiguous as to what's going to happen. And so they
a
come back.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So they come back, what, 10, 20 years later, using it's the same characters, the same actors, which is great. And it's all a bit different. It seems like they've got together. They're out on holiday and it's exploring is a nice exploration of relationships through, you know, time and, you know, and change.
Damn, so another good one, both. Something good films coming up.
So
coming
I will let you
moment.
Know certainly
yeah,
how
do.
That one
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Also big films coming out in the multiplexes. World War Z is based on a hit zombie war book. Stars Brad Pitt, and he's like trying to find where the outbreak started as humanity and cities crumble in the wake of the disease infected people. Yeah, so that sounds exciting. And also for the family, Despicable Me 2, there's weekend previews this weekend. It officially opens next Friday, so if you're eager to see it, Gru and all his little yellow minions are back, this time helping the Anti-Villain League to stop another supervillain. So it sounds all fun and games to me.
Anti-Villain League, that's a good association really to be a part of, I think. Excellent. Okay then, Sky, thank you very much. See you, well, I'll see you in a couple of weeks, but you'll be back here next week when Matt will be here to look after you.